You say that the image of death is the beginning of mythology. What do you mean? How is that?
Well, all I can say to that is that the earliest evidence we have of anything like mythological thinking is associated with grave burials.
And they suggest what? That men, women saw life and then they didn't see it and they wondered about it?
It must have been. I mean, one has only to, you know, imagine what one's own experience would be. The person was alive and warm before you and talking to you. He's now lying there, getting cold, beginning to rot. Something was there that isn't there, and where is it? Now, animals have this experience, certainly, of their companions dying and so forth, but there's no evidence that they've had any further thoughts about it. Mm-hmm. Also, before the time of Neanderthal man, it's in his period that the first burials appear, that, of which we have evidence, people were dying and they're just thrown away. But here there's a concern.
Have you ever visited any of these burial sites?
I've been to Le Moustier. That was one of the earliest burial caves that were found.
And you find there what they buried with the dead?
Yes. These grave burials with grave gear, that is to say, weapons and sacrifices round about, certainly suggest the idea of the continued life beyond the visible one. First one that was discovered, person is put down, resting as though asleep, a young boy, with a beautiful hand axe beside him. Now, at the same time, we have evidence of shrines devoted to animals that have been killed. The shrines specifically are in the Alps, in very high caves, and they are of cave bear skulls. And there's one very interesting one with the long bones of the cave bear in the cave bear's jaw.
What does that say to you?
Burials. My friend has died and he survives. The animals that I've killed must also survive. I must make some kind of atonement relationship to them. The indication is of the notion of a plane of being that's behind the visible plane, and which is somehow supportive of the visible one to which we have to relate. I would say that's the basic theme of all mythology.
That there is a world?
That there is a visible an invisible plane supporting the visible one. Now, whether it is thought of as a world or simply as an energy, that differs from time and time and place to place.
What we don't know supports what we do know.
That's right. The basic hunting myth, I would say, is of a kind of covenant between the animal world and the human world, where the animal gives its life willingly. They are regarded generally as willing victims, with the understanding that their life, which transcends their physical entity, will be returned to the soil or to the mother through some ritual of restoration. And the principal rituals, for instance, and the principal divinities are associated with the main hunting animal, the animal who is the master animal and sends the flocks to be killed, you know? The Indians of the American plains, it was the buffalo. You go to the northwest coast, it's the salmon. The great festivals have to do with the run of salmon coming in. When you go to South Africa, the eland, the big magnificent antelope, is the principal animal for the bushman, for example.
And the principal animal, though,
is the one that furnishes the food.
The food. So there grew up between human beings and animals a bonding, as you say, which required one to be consumed by the other.
That's the way life is.
Do you think this troubled the early man?
Absolutely.
That he felt some
That's guilt? Why you have the rites, because it did trouble him.
What kind of rites?
rituals of appeasement to the animals, of thanks to the animal?